We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Some boos from the fans. A lot of fans have left.
They're getting booed, rightfully so.
Is anybody worried?
It's not like, hey, man, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
The problem with the Celtics is Brad Stevens.
Play well.
So much of this comes down to Gordon Hayward.
The chemistry's a little shaky.
The freaking starting five, guys.
It hasn't been fun for a long time, man.
Do you take the Boston Celtics?
Am I supposed to be Kyrie, too?
No, you're not. No, now you shut up.
You won't shut the F up.
Right now.
It's not fun.
Let's have some fun and play together. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So that was the absolute worst. No, actually, it wasn't. The Laker game was not the worst because it got worse when they played the Clippers. Five new players on that Clippers team. Doc Rivers was able to get an awful lot out of them. They were down by 28 against your Boston Celtics at the TD Garden, and they ended up winning by 11.
Biggest comeback in their franchise.
Yeah,
history.
15 years.
I mean, give me a break.
For the last time it's happened to the Celtics. Jeez. Down by 20. It's ridiculous. That was a joke. It might happen on the road, something like that, but it should never, ever, ever happen at home. So the game is over, and Marcus Morris goes off, and he talks about, you know, this is not fun.
He gets hot.
And then today, he's at practice, and of course, the media comes running up to him because they want to find out, did he really mean it? Beep, beep, beep. Is he going to back up? What is he going to do? And he did admit that he spoke out of frustration when he vented about the joyless season, but he did stress that his comments were made because he needs to find a way for this team to come together.
You know, he thought it was the right thing to say. No, and then more to the fact of, you know, I could basically kept that in house and, you know, and talked to, you know, my teammates, but the guys caught me at a good time. I was hot. You know, I spoke words real. You know, I didn't take it out of context or point anybody out. I just said as a whole, I just felt like, you know, we got to enjoy this process. You know, when we up 20 or 30, it has to seem like we're up 20 or 30, you know, and I think that stretches out, you know, around the league, you know. That's just basically it.
Do you think your teammates took the message the right way?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think guys, you know, we watched some film, we watched a couple clips, and, you know, guys understood what I was saying, and, you know, obviously, to be that caliber team, that championship team, you know, you have to really buy in. You have to enjoy, you know, what's going on, man. And, you know, as I look around the league, like I said, those top teams are, you know, seem like they enjoy what's going on. Win, lose, or draw. You're going to have some ups and downs, but, you know, got to have fun with it.
Right, this is good news, that the teammates took it well. I'm not sure I buy that. That the teammates took it well. Here's the second one. He said he could have kept all of this in-house with his teammates. Does anybody believe that Kyrie Irving the first time and now Marcus Morris the second time and Morris pushing and shoving Jaylen Brown in a game, that they didn't go at it privately before it became so frustrating that these players went and threw it out to the public? Because that's usually how it happens, right?
Yeah. You know, usually when I want to vent, I usually do it in front of a bunch of microphones, knowing that people are going to, like, you know, please spread it around. Yeah, it's usually, it's just, I feel like it's a safe space,
that's,
right?
That's last resort. That's after you're already pissed
never.
Off and you've said something to
really
a guy.
It's really never. It's like,
you're having a mental breakdown.
And so here's what you're going to have. It's nothing but fake emotion, right? So you watch the film, you watch some clips, right? Of because Bill did this one time. I remember this like it was yesterday. He had the same issue. Nobody was having any fun. Nobody was, like, you know, celebrating the other guys on the team. And he showed, like, a touchdown. Somebody scored a touchdown. Everybody just went their separate ways. Whoever had the touchdown just, you know, did this little spike, and then that was it. Showed a defensive play where somebody had a really good tackle. Nobody sprinted over to that guy that made the tackle. They just kind of went back to the huddle. And he did it over and over and over and over again.
There was, like, I definitely enjoy kicking
so many different examples of it. Then he showed what it should look like, but he showed a clip from the Super Bowl era from 2001 when how that team was, what the type of chemistry that team had, and every play there were guys were rallying around the ball, high-fiving each other. No one cared who was getting it and how it was getting done. They were just happy for each other. And I remember the very next week that we played, God forbid somebody catch a pass or score a touchdown. It was so much fake emotion. It was so much, let's run over there. Now we're all on film. And then, okay, of course, we were 9-7, right, that year. So when I hear Marcus Morris, I'm like, all right, so all you're going to hear, all you're going to see is, like, guys know that they're going to have to fake it. Like, I have to fake excitement for you, Lou, even though I'm jealous of you and I don't think you should be playing over me, Lou.
Yeah, see, I look at it last night. I know it was a bad loss on Saturday and it was back-to-back nights, but I believe him. Like, I think it was truth. I don't think this was, like, emotion. Rob Gronkowski, after a Super Bowl, contemplating retirement and needing a time away. I think this was going on for a while, like the other night, Saturday night, when he talked about it. He's talking about just the attitude, how it isn't fun. This was him.
For me, it's not really about the loss. It's about the attitudes that we're playing with. You know, guys are, you know, hanging their heads. It's not fun. You know? Like, it's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. You know, even though we're winning, it's still not, it's not fun. You know, I don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams on the league, guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they're enjoying, you know, their teammates' success, they're enjoying everything, and they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
See, to me, this thing is bothersome, too. And then you got Gary Washburn tweeting out. He tweets out, Celtics locker room issues aren't that bad of big of a surprise to some NBA folks that I talked to today. He says the consensus is that the players aren't necessarily beefing, but they aren't that close. It's like they're trying to coexist politely, and it's not working. And a lot of guys today who commented, I think it was Jaylen Brown, a lot of these guys are like, yeah, you know, a lot of what he said is true. So it's not like I don't like you or we're fighting with one another. It's just that I'm not really pulling for you. Not really rooting for you. I'm rooting for me. I'm rooting for my other buddy, too, because I want us to kind of have – I don't really care what you guys are doing. It's so individual. You can see it.
There's so much indifference. So what Marcus Morris is talking about, like you see all these other pro teams and college teams and the bench is going crazy from beginning to end. Right, so those guys, those bench players come in, and they feel like they shouldn't be sitting on the bench in the first place.
Right.
So why should they applaud somebody who they think they got their job for the wrong reasons? So that's not changing. So the people that Marcus Morris are talking about, those other role players, those other guys, he's including in that because when he's not a starter, he's on the bench, he should be standing up and cheering. I don't notice him standing up and cheering and getting excited, but you can't force that. You can't just all of a sudden make Jaylen Brown appreciate what the other guys are doing. Like, Terry Rozier is also going to be like, yeah, that's my mentor. That's Kyrie out there. That's my dog right there. No, it's not. Nobody cares.
Yeah, see, to me, it bothers me when you're watching this team, and they, like you said, they just don't care. And that maybe that's even worse. But you obviously, the players are to blame. They're the players. You always blame the players. Okay, that's like a given. But I hear people like blaming Danny Ainge. This is Danny Ainge's issue. Danny Ainge is the general manager of this team. His job is to put talent on this roster. He's put a ton of talent on this roster. Kyrie Irving's the best player. Okay, you want to be critical of him? He's not the best leader. Fine. He's not the best leader. He's still the best player in this team. Brad Stevens, the Wonder Boy, who's been amazing the last 3 or 4 years. Okay, everybody loves Brad Stevens. He ain't getting through to this team. This is on Brad Stevens, if you ask me. You got a bunch of superstars. Figure it out. Try to find out a way. Your job is to manage these players and figure out how to get the best out of each of them individually. You can't treat them all the same. They have different personalities. They're not all kids that are just happy to be playing at Butler. They're not all kids that are just happy to finally be playing in the NBA and a team that's giving them minutes. These are superstars. This is a lot of talent. And he has no idea right now how to manage this team.
He's never done this before.
And it's on him.
But he's never done this before. So you look back at Butler. He was dealing with kids that weren't good enough to play at Kansas or North Carolina, Kentucky, Duke, whatever. So he was getting the kids that just wanted an opportunity. And the coach was able to coach them up and take them from here up to here. Same thing in the pros the first couple years. Evan Turner takes Isaiah Thomas, sixth player, makes him into a player, makes him into an all-star. But now he's dealing with legitimate superstars, guys who were getting paid maximum contract money, and huge egos melded in with these young kids who think that they're superstars already because they got an opportunity to play at the end of last year into the playoffs, and they had their own names, Scary Terry, and their own shoes and everything else. He doesn't know how to deal with it. He's never done this before. And the thing is, I laugh when I hear people say, oh, you know, Brad Stevens, much better coach than Doc Rivers, you know, over the last couple of years. Well, hold on. X's and O's. Brad Stevens' knowledge of the game, give him all the credit in the world, seems to have a great understanding of what to do with the X's and the O's. But now we're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with feelings. We're dealing with guys who, you know, are jealous of other guys and the playing time they're getting. I don't think he's proven that he can do that. Doc Rivers could do it.
Aren't you waiting for that game where messages are being sent? Like, aren't you waiting for that game where, like, after the first quarter, you sit there and say, Jesus, I haven't noticed. Did you guys notice? Actually, Marcus Morris hasn't been in the game yet. It's like the third or fourth. Or Tatum hasn't been back. Or Hayward. Pick your player. Pick any of them. And the minutes are being taken away because Brad didn't like what he saw in the first quarter. He didn't like the effort. He didn't like the fact that the guy missed an open jump shot. And then the guy that he was covering took off the other end. And he didn't hustle his ass back. I like to see him pull a guy.
Is he afraid to piss him off back? Lou, is he afraid?
Are we at the point where does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter to me, but it might matter. That might not be his personality. I don't know.
Well, then he's got to figure. He's got to change some things up because his message certainly isn't getting across.
I would say this. What happened in the Lakers game? And forget about Rondo making that shot, because it was a very makeable shot. Maybe not necessarily for Rondo. He happened to be the guy who took it. But that was a very makeable shot when the ball popped out to him right at the buzzer. But you look at that game and how they underperformed and blew, an 18-point lead earlier in that game. Are you telling me that was Thursday night? You telling me that two nights later, you're playing a home game against a stiff team, a team that just made deals in which they added five new players onto the roster, and you're not sitting there pissed off at what happened on national TV, TNT on Thursday night, where everybody's questioning whether you have balls to stand up to these teams in the Eastern Conference, and you get a 28-point lead and play real tough work. You know why you got the 28-point lead? Because you're loaded with talent. You got as much talent as most teams in the league. And then suddenly you throw the towel and you give up and you don't want to have any effort after what happened on Thursday night.
And
Brett Stevens can't get it out of him.
And it was the worst type of scenario too, right? Because you had this big lead, you go into halftime. It almost seems like you're losing at the end of the second quarter, but whatever, you still have a good lead. And you come out in the third quarter and you miss 18 of 22 shots.
Unbelievable.
And then they go nuts and then they get 42 points in the fourth quarter. So you can't just sit there like, oh, you know, like it's like, oh, okay, we'll just, no, bad shot here, bad shot there. I pulled up this, last week there was this this thing on Marcus Smart, how he had the highest three-point percentage shooting in the East. Marcus Smart was. Since then, he's a train wreck.
That's Marcus Smart.
He's a train wreck.
You knew it was going to come back.
It's just like, I almost feel bad for that. I almost got sucked into the fact, he's a better shooter. He's got this contract now. He doesn't have to worry about all this other stuff. So he's just focused on being a good player. No, he's part of the problem too. All of them
make those plays besides Marcus Smart.
You know, I was shocked Friday night driving home late. Our boy, Candy Boy, Gilroy was on.
Yes.
Late. And he was preaching what he would like to see done. That the trade that they should have made at the deadline was Brad Stevens for Doc Rivers.
You don't get it, man.
Because this is more of a Doc Rivers team, one that Doc could handle, and Brad Stevens goes and rebuilds the Clippers.
Yeah.
But he's right in the sense that this is the type of team that Doc Rivers, you know, coaching, trying to get these guys to figure it out. Whereas Brad Stevens, I think right now, you know, he's very accountable. After the game, he talks about looking at himself, and I got to change some things, and that's great.
When's it going to happen? We're game 56.
But okay, are we starting to lose patience here a little bit with this group? Like, am I going to see more of Ogilvy? Because I know he's going to bust his ass, even though maybe he's not as talented as the guy he's going in for. But I'm going to get an effort from him. Like, when are you going to start seeing some of these things?
I don't know, but it's interesting you mention guys like that, because what was it the other night, Thursday night? Daniel Tice is in there and he plays well. Bench played well. He played well. So there are some guys that are willing to go out there if they get the opportunity. And they're willing to bust their ass. I don't know. Maybe there is something to the Baines stuff. That maybe Baines is one of those guys that plays so hard for every single minute he's on the floor that it forces other people to do it. I don't know. Maybe Charles Barkley is right.
He looks like all of Australia.
I know. Maybe
he's
right about
Baines
that.
Well, the numbers with Baines on and off the court are ridiculous, especially defensively.
Yes. So what does that tell you? Maybe it's contagious because you see somebody else out there on the floor who's playing a start. But I can't argue that point that Gilroy had in that, and that was the point I just made a couple minutes ago, is that Brad's never done this. He's never. The NBA, by the way, is coaching superstars if you're going to win. Look at Phil Jackson. Look at Red Auerbach. Any coach, you know, pop down in San Antonio, anybody that's amassed a great coaching record has done it with superstars. Brad hasn't done that yet, and that's the NBA. And if he can't do that, that's a problem. If he can't get the egos and meld this team together, that's a major problem. Doc Rivers has done that.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. To the phone calls.
I took a look at Baines in the shower.
Yeah, I know you did, Tony. We'll take the phone calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
How much time, energy, oxygen we spend talking about what did being involved in trade rumors do to the young Lakers? Well, the Celtics aren't dopes. They know that their names were being, when Danny Ainge was talking to, talking to Del Demps saying, there'll be a better offer for you this summer. Who do they think it is? Garcon Yabusele?
Or is it going to be their names out there? We had specific names on the Lakers. You're leaving.
But we know that when the Celtics.
They know.
They know.
Especially when you have a good contract, an aspiring contract.
Right.
You know that those contracts are more advantageous in a trade.
What are we talking about? Celtics couldn't make a trade at the trading deadline with any of those players. They weren't trading
any of those players. That's the Barkley method. The Barkley formula.
What are we talking about?
Here's the other thing. I'm tired.
Garcon Yabusele?
Yabusele. I'm getting tired of, like, you know, this is one of the Ainge people who criticize Danny for letting these names kind of get leaked out that they could possibly be dealt for Anthony Davis.
What do you think? He leaked
them
out?
You know who gets pissed about, like, hearing his name in trade rumors? Ray Allen. You know why? Because he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the game, and he's towards the end of his career. If Jason Tatum is pissed about it, or Jaylen Brown is pissed about it, or Terry Rozier is pissed about it, yeah, welcome to being a professional, okay? What have you done? You're damn right I'm going to ship your ass out for Anthony Davis. Who the hell do you think you are? You had a great postseason. I really like you. Zip it. Play the game of basketball. You're 20 years old. Welcome to being a professional.
Well, welcome
your
to
name
the
is going to be floated out there. Try being a Hall of Famer and having your name floated out there for O.J. Mayo. You want to get pissed off?
What's
you
OJ
can get pissed
Mayo
off, yeah, right?
I will say, like, you're right.
James, my ass. Yeah. Play the game, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's like, this is just, like, if the young guys are, yes, hey, you want to be in the league at a young age?
This is the NBA.
This is the NBA.
You trade
welcome
my
to
son
rumors,
Jason.
Gossip.
You.
Welcome to it. This is the way it is. But we just bought a house. I just moved my whole family
he's
up here.
He's a young boy, and you're hurting his feelings. Grow up.
He's still a baby. That's my baby. God. Yeah, that is just, that's part of the deal.
How is it Danny Ainge's fault? Can somebody tell me how it's Danny Ainge's fault? I don't understand that. He did a phenomenal deal with Brooklyn. He was able to get at the third pick in the draft two players that are tremendous assets, whether they're with this team going forward or whether they go and allow you to acquire a great player. They were great moves that he got. And on top of that, he got another draft pick because Philadelphia was too stupid and they wanted Markelle Fultz. What did Danny Ainge go wrong here? How was any of this
he didn't.
Danny Ainge's fault?
He's acquired great talent.
That's his job, right? His job is to go and get all of the talent.
And it's
talent.
Also not Danny Ainge's job to explain the roles of these basketball players on this team.
Coach's job.
I heard Mutt talking about that this morning.
Do we have that?
The GM doesn't do that, okay? The coach does. The coach is supposed to. And again, I don't think any of the names that they mention, if it's Jason Tatum, good God, man. You had 1 year in the league. Are you a promising young player? Yes. Do I like you as a player? Yes. If you're pissed off that you're being mentioned in trades, grow up. I mean, you gotta be kidding me.
Do you have Mutt? You did that earlier.
We're not doing that.
I thought it was funny. Okay, no, this is Mutt from this morning.
It is completely the players in this case.
How do you say that?
It is not Brad Stevens. Well, give me a second to breathe on it, and I'll explain it to you.
This one.
These players are in different roles than they were a year ago, and the young players have not accepted it.
Multiple.
I saw the big one. Who do you most blame for?
Then there was a
where the Celtics
poll
are
about whether
right
or not
now
you would attribute any of the blame to Kyrie.
Okay,
poll questions up.
And one of the options there was Danny Ainge. If I had voted in the poll, I would have voted for Danny Ainge.
Are you kidding me?
Danny Ainge has built a team that is on two different pages here. The players have not bought into their
That's
roles
not
this
Danny's
year.
Fault.
That's the players. Well, when you build
it's
a team
coach's
that,
fault.
When you build a team that is going in multiple directions. Veteran guys trying to win now. Mm-hmm. Young guys already looking ahead to next year because they know they're going to get traded for Anthony Davis. Then that is partially on the guy.
Oh. I'm done. Tell him to stick. Stick to the trombone.
Yeah, please.
Stick to the trombone.
I understand.
When you get schooled by Reamer, that's disastrous.
That's exactly what I thought he would say. Oh no, because Danny ain't should have. He should have known better, right? Yeah, there's too much talent here. Stop. Let's get good things.
Hold on. Let's get crappier players.
Yeah.
Let's not get the best players. Mutt, what are you thinking?
How dare Golden State acquire Kevin Durant not knowing how it was going to work?
Exactly.
With a lot
they
of talent.
Can't handle this.
Exactly.
Too much pressure.
Harrison Barnes, stick with him. He's better, right?
You're pigeoning now.
Like a pigeon?
Whatever. Pigeoning.
it makes no sense at all. The general manager's job is to go and get all of the talent, the best talent you can get.
Yes.
The coach's job is to formulate a team in which each player is going to have a role, and they're going to be able to play together as a unit. And if they can't, then you have to make a decision as the general manager to start drifting those players off, which is exactly what Danny's going to do on July 1st, and you're going to love him again when he does that, and he makes that deal. But I don't understand this trade talk stuff. Jay in the car wants to talk about it. Like, these players are all worked up about the trade talk, Jay? What do you mean?
I don't know about worked up, but Saturday night I brought my 10-year-old grandson to his first basketball game. And it was extremely disappointing.
Saw history. Saw the Celtics blow a 28-point lead.
History. Wonderful history.
Yeah.
To your point earlier before the break, Big O, I want to ask for you and Lou, from the standpoint of being players, and I heard coming back off the break what Lou was saying, grow up. But if this is a me league, loyalty is out the window, and you hear your name repeatedly spoken, whether it's true or not, is that not going to produce a lackluster performance? And you can tell them to grow up, but the mores and values that you three were raised on as I are out the window today. So growing up, this is what they grow up to. They've been fed all this. This is for you to have. And now they hear their names being talked about being shipped out. Yep. And I don't know if growing up is what Ainge or Stevens needs to tell them. I mean, I think it's what's having that effect. Because what's the other reason?
Oh, listen, I just think it's one of those things that kind of harden you early on in your career when you realize that this is a business.
And but harden comes after 5, 6, 7 years in the league.
I don't think so.
Like Lou just said, you don't?
I think it comes the first couple of years when you realize the business of the sport that you're in.
You better.
And you never realized it before. And you're like, what? My AAU team never would have traded me. I was the greatest player in the world. Like, there was articles in my hometown how great I am. All these colleges are coming after me. And then I went to a school for 1 year, and they kissed my loving ass for an entire year to get me there and then thanked me for bringing them to the Final Four. And now all of a sudden they want to trade me? How dare they? That's my baby. You can't trade my baby. I'm just saying, like, it's like these people, yeah, it's like that. Welcome to the real world. You're good, but someone's better.
But see, the reason I don't think that has been a factor is that they've been playing like this disjointed, dysfunctional whatever all season long.
Yeah, it wasn't just after the deadline.
Right out of the gate, they were playing like crap. So I don't think the trading deadline had anything to do with it. Those players knew, most of them, that they weren't going to get traded at the trading deadline. Matter of fact, I think some of them would have appreciated it if they were traded. If I'm Terry Rozier, I'm looking at it and say, get my ass out of here.
Sure.
Kyrie's going to sign a maximum contract deal. He's going to be the point guard. I'm not going to get my money. Get me to another team. Let me go to a bad team, play a lot of minutes, put some numbers up, and then score big time in free agency.
Would you trade for Manny Machado?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, what all these young guys do, you sit there. Once you become Kyrie Irving, then you set the terms. You're in control. Okay, they want to trade you for 1 year. Fine, go ahead. But you know, at the end of that year, you're going to have this big Brinks truck full of money. And you can do whatever the hell you want.
Exactly. Bill's in Danvers next up here on OMF. Hi, Bill.
Hey, are Mutt's hair transplant a little too tight? What is he talking about?
I have no idea.
I mean, that is embarrassing.
I will sign my name X with some hair on it.
Right. This 100% falls on Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
100%. And I love...
Well, Stevens and the players.
Well, the players, I suppose, right? But, like, those guys walked in not knowing their role. But on day one, Brad Stevens should have sat down the group that's going to be their bench players and said, this is what your role is this year. End of story. End of story. And the guys, you know, the guys, Brown, even Hayward, right? He probably doesn't want to be on the bench. He's on the bench. You got Brown, Rozier, all those guys. Sorry, this is what our team is.
Yeah, but so, but yeah. Bill, but here's where. Okay, but maybe he did. So maybe he did, because he looked at the math and he looked at the numbers and he looked at the minutes, and we talked about this before the season began. And the math doesn't work. Okay, so you can't look at it and say, well, we get 20 points out of this guy, 16 out of this guy. No, they're only 48 minutes in the game. So you go to Rozier, you say to him, sorry, you played a lot of minutes in the second half of the season. You were the starter during the playoffs. You were the star. You're playing a backup role right now. But he's looking at it going, but I'm the star. I already showed you what I can do. I did it. I went from weekends to do an afternoon drive. What are you throwing me back on weekends for? That's what it's like. Right. And so it's difficult. So you could sit there if you're Brad Stevens and you could say it to you blue. But the player's not going to accept that.
Well, it doesn't. But that's the thing. Who cares? Who cares what the player?
Well, that's why Danny Ainge. That's why I don't understand why people don't look at this. Danny Ainge has got to make a trade. He's got to take a bunch of these assets and deal for Anthony Davis. Now you shorten your bench, shorten your rotation, and you do it with better players.
Yeah, when you talk about 100%,
that's what those guys have got to do.
Yeah,
they got to get traded and go off to their own teams, because at this point, it's unrecoverable unless Brad Stevens has that control of that locker room.
Yeah, this whole idea of deep and young, it's not going to work.
No, the 100%. If you were to say, okay, percentile, but blame between Danny and Brad Stevens, then I would say 100%.
100%, yes.
I don't put anything on Danny Ainge.
Zero. I have no idea what Mutt was talking about.
I don't know who would or why they would.
Does he understand the role of what a general manager does and what a guy is?
He thinks he's the coach. He actually said at one point that it's Danny Ainge's job to go and explain the roles of these guys.
No, it's the coach's.
He's the general manager.
Players have not bought into their roles this year.
That's not Danny's fault.
That's the players. Well, when you build a team that is going in multiple directions, veteran guys trying to win now, young guys already looking at it next year because they know they're going to get traded for Anthony Davis, then that is partially on the guy who built the team.
That's stupid. No, stick to the trombone. First of all, if I'm the coach and the general manager comes in to me and starts talking to my players and tells them what the role is, I say, get the hell out of here or fire me right now.
Yeah.
Fire me. I'm not going
to
do this.
The GM says stuff like, hey, it's your job to lose. Hey, we're going to give you a fair try. Right. You know what?
I can't
guarantee you anything.
Well, the GM says,
God, Lee, are you kidding me? Like, I've heard it a million times.
Just look at, like, Golden State. Hey, we're going to sign Kevin Durant. You figure out a way to make it work.
That's right.
With Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Steve Kerr's on you now.
And by the way, I'm also going to go out and sign Boogie Cousins. Steve, you figure out a way to make it work. Get to him. Talk to about his role is going to be. End of story.
Manage him.
I'm putting talent on this roster. I pay you to deal with it.
Right.
And Brad Stevens right now is not dealing with it, and he sure as hell ain't getting any of these players.
No, but the worst part about it is he keeps on saying it publicly. If you watch the press conferences after the game, and I appreciate his frank approach to it, an honest approach, but why isn't it getting any better? So you're telling us every night, not lack of effort. Middle quarters, we have trouble defensively. That's effort. The guys aren't going out. Guys are shooting open threes on us. And every night you're telling us the same thing over and over and over again.
And figure out what I can do to help that not happen. If that means we need to play different rotations, call different things, you know, start differently in quarters than we are, you know, whatever the case may be. There's an answer out there, and we have to find it.
You better find it quickly. It's game 57 tomorrow night.
You watch the game. You look out there. You see someone you don't like, you know, not getting back on defense. Yank their ass.
Sit his ass on the bench.
Sit his ass on the bench and play someone that will.
For Danny Ainge.
I don't know how else to get the message across.
I'm wondering, do you remember it was about a month ago, and he came out and used the entire bench for the last, like, 5 or 6 minutes of a game. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And the bench got him back in the game. They didn't win, I believe it was, but they made the game closer, and the guys, starters were just not giving any effort out there. He should do that more often.
Yes.
And you know what? If you're going to lose these games anyway, and you saw what you did this weekend, let Shemmy do it. Let Tice, let some of these other guys do it. Let those guys sit in the bench and stew, and maybe you get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get their attention out there. Here's John next up. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. So I don't give Danny Ainge any blame for this. I think he's done an excellent job building this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see pretty much the same exact team on the floor next season. I don't think he can put – I think Brad Stevens deserves minimal blame for this. I don't think anybody expected Gordon Hayward to have the season he's having this year. I think that's part of the problem. I think it's entirely on the players, specifically Kyrie Irving. He wanted his own team. He has his own team. If he has to call a team...
Hey, John, he's been good. He's an all-star. He is one of the top all-stars voted in. He's been good. He's closed games. He's won games for you, a lot of them.
John, was Kyrie a problem last year when they were 46-20 before he went down?
He wasn't a problem at the time, no, but last year is not this year.
So what's changed?
He's Kyrie, been better this year.
Kyrie or the other guy?
He's a better player this year.
What's changed?
Well, the fact that he's supposed to be the leader of this team hasn't changed. He was doing a better job last year than this year. Maybe he shouldn't be taking games off against the easier teams. Maybe something like that needs to change in order for the environment to change.
Well, wait a minute, John. Why wouldn't that be a good thing for the team if he's taking off games against weaker teams because he's got a physical ailment where he's not 100%? That should be a plus for guys like Terry Rozier and others because they're going to get their opportunity to play. He's distributing the minutes. He's allowing these guys to play a little bit more, something they would not be doing if he were playing all 82. How is that a problem? How is this a Kyrie problem?
Well, that doesn't set a good precedent if you want to be considered the leader of a team to be taking off games against,
like LeBron is, like LeBron's been doing for the last few weeks.
Des Groning Pool.
Right.
Okay. Well, all these other guys.
Guys do this all the time.
I want to hear a couple people with this blame. Danny Ainge.
Okay.
People want to blame him.
Why don't we do... We got to take a break. When we come back, final segment, we'll take these calls. They want to blame Danny Ainge. Is that Mutt calling in again using...
He is.
Mutt's pranking us, just like you do.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Quick calls because a lot of people want to talk about this. Taylor's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Taylor.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So you're missing the point. It's not about the X's and O's. It's not about Danny telling
about the Jimmys and Joes.
Their roles.
Yeah.
It's about Danny's the biggest star in Boston. What name three other GMs around the league. Like, he is the biggest star in town.
No, he's not. Bigger than the players?
Wait, as far as GMs go? Yeah.
Name three other GMs.
Forget about the GMs, Taylor. Like, you think he's when he walks into a locker room, everyone's like, oh, Danny's here? No, Kyrie's the superstar in that team.
When your boss comes down, if your boss hung around, if Joey Zarbano's boss was around, or Joey Zarbano was around instead of your program directors.
Joey is the star here. I will tell you this. Joey is the star.
We actually...
No, you're wrong.
When you say Joey's the star, is Mutt the star?
You know what? I laugh at all his jokes. I always tell him how funny. Look, I love your shirt, boss. Yeah.
And I have a comp day. Then you say, that's what you do next. Yeah. I got to have a comp day.
I got one.
All right, I'll go with this one guy. Give him 20 seconds. Sorja in a car.
How you doing?
Good, go.
Okay, so... I think the person to blame is Danny Ainge. He didn't make any moves before the trade deadline.
What'd you want to do?
And we definitely needed a rim protector and someone who could get rid of.
You know what I hate?
That was Mutt with a fake accent. I swear to God.
You know what I hate more than a receiver that can take the top off the field?
Ooh, rim protector.
Is a rim protector. Rim protector. That's the two things, the two cliches that I hate more than anything.
Rim protector. Come on, please. Last segment sponsored by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Easy as that. Go to carsforkids.com. 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. Boys, we'll do it again tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Yes, we will.
Tomorrow afternoon. Bye,
boys.
Be here. We're out, Ryan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.